This afternoon, in my exhortation to help encourage you to read through the Word of God in a year, we're going to be looking into really one of my personal favorite books in the Old Testament, which is the book of Nehemiah. And I have to admit, it was a little hard to choose this week because the week's readings consisted in Ezra and Esther, and these are all books that I love as well. But my attention came to this book today because of a phrase found in this book, and that is a mind to work. And that phrase has been playing upon my mind. Not long ago, we were next door, and we were decorating for the Bible Bash. And as I got here that day, I came in, I got here about 7 o'clock to unload, and as I got here, some people were already out there in the flower beds, and they were weeding away, and we had some people who were cleaning here in the church, and we had others that came, and they decorated. Some that we don't normally get to see on Wednesdays came down and decorated. And, it all got done pretty quickly. I was amazed at that. By the time that 8:30 rolled around, most everything was done. And then, once everything was done with the Bible Bash on a Wednesday night, Austin got done with his lesson. In about 20 minutes, everything got put away. And I can't remember whether it was the day that we put things up or the day that we took things down. I can't remember. It might have been both. But I was speaking about the amazement that I had that everything got done so quickly. And then, again, I'm not even sure if it was Brother Greg or Brother Coffey, but somebody said, well, the people had a mind to work, a mind to work. And as I've been reading this week, that certainly has come to my mind as well, a mind to work. And so that's what we're going to be talking about today, as it comes from a quote from Nehemiah chapter 4. And if you want to, you can be turning there. And as you're turning there, I will tell you this, that next Sunday, as far as our reading through the Bible program in a year goes, that next Sunday we'll be starting in the Gospels. Hallelujah, right? Everybody can say that. Now, I know that by this time of year that some of you all got off the Bible bus in Leviticus back in the law. And I know that some of you got off in the Bible bus when you got to Ezekiel and Isaiah and all kinds of places in between now and then. But next Sunday, we start with the Gospels and we start with the New Testament. And that's the good stuff, right? That's the stuff you love to read. So even if you've fallen off the Bible bus, it's pulled up next week outdoors. And I want you to get on that bus once again and finish out this year, these last 3 months or so that we've got left, and read through the Gospels together and through the New Testament as we make it to the end. And I think that we'll finish off strong and you'll be ready and energized next year to do it all again. Amen? Amen. All right, let's turn our attention to the book of Nehemiah. Now, this book of Nehemiah opens up with Nehemiah, who is a cupbearer to Artaxerxes. And you might be interested to know that Artaxerxes is the son of Xerxes, who you also may know in the Word of God as Ahasuerus. Ahasuerus, who was found for us in the book of Esther. The book of Esther. So as we see this man, Artaxerxes, perhaps the situation with the Jews there helped increase his capacity in loving the Jewish people, as we know that Esther would have been the stepmother of Artaxerxes. Pretty amazing how all this works out according to the sovereign plan of God. But at the beginning of the book, Nehemiah, as we see, he is a brother. We don't know if it's a brother in the flesh or a brother as far as the nation of Israel goes, but a brother has returned and he is asked about the conditions of things going on down in Jerusalem. Now, I want you to know that the Jews have been allowed to return down to Israel once again, to return down to Jerusalem. They were allowed to do that under the decree of King Cyrus that ended that 70 years of captivity in Babylonia, and they were allowed to come down and they were allowed to rebuild the temple. But they rebuilt the temple and the city was still yet in ruin. It was in despair, and it was in ruin and despair because the walls had never been repaired. And folks, a city in this day and time that had no walls was hardly a city at all, because it could not keep itself from being ransacked from invaders that would come in at any time. Those walls that Nebuchadnezzar destroyed many, many years ago were still yet torn down. So Nehemiah hears what is going on, and his heart is broken. His heart is broken because that city is still in disarray. His people are still living in a pile of rubble. So Nehemiah, who is a cupbearer to Artaxerxes, is there, and he begins to have great sorrow over what is going on. And he goes to the Lord in prayer, and God gave him the opportunity to speak before the king concerning the status of Jerusalem. And God gave King Artaxerxes a receptive heart to what Nehemiah was talking to him about. And he gave Nehemiah not just letters to go down to build. He didn't just give him the materials, but he put him in charge as governor of the city at that point in time to get the work done. You see, from the very beginning of this book, I want you to understand that Nehemiah was not just given the desire to pray for the saints in Jerusalem. Nehemiah was not just given the desire to send a love offering. Nehemiah was given the desire to God to actually go down and do the work. God gave him a mind to work, something to do. You know, folks, we can't always talk about a situation. We can't always just be heartbroken over those in need and send a package. No, sometimes, in fact, people, we need to be doers. We need to be doers. As God's people, we must have a mind to work. We must have a mind to work. Now, we are going to be turning our attention here to chapter 4 in just a moment, but I want you to understand that as we get to chapter 4, Nehemiah has been down there. He has surveyed the city. He's gathered the people. He's told them what is going to happen and how they're going to rebuild the city. And if you go back and look at the chapters there, you'll see the great cooperation that was taking place. People from cities outside of Jerusalem, from other cities in Benjamin and Judah, were coming in, and they were helping to rebuild the wall. And people from all kinds of occupations, from priests to apothecaries, were coming together, and they were working on the wall because why? They had a mind to work. They had a mind to work. So now with that in mind, chapter 4, if you haven't turned there already. Now, our message is going to be very simple this afternoon in form and function. All we're going to do is be reading through this chapter here. And the reason I'm reading through this chapter is because I believe that we will see a picture of ourselves as well as a church and as a people. Because the fact of the matter is, we have a building project in this church. And brothers and sisters, I think that you would agree that there is work that needs to be done. Yes, sometimes it's pulling weeds, and sometimes it's painting the church, or fixing the parking lot, or whatever needs to be done. But brothers and sisters, there's also a great deal of spiritual work that needs to be done as well. We are building up the kingdom of heaven, and folks, that's not just my job, that is the job of everyone here. We are to build up that spiritual kingdom, both outside the church and inside the church, for those that are here. But we all must have a mind to work for the Lord's work to be done. Let's look in verse number 1. But it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded a wall, he was wroth and took great indignation. and mocked the Jews. Now, Sanballat was really the chief enemy of the Jews at this point in time, and he was chief of the Samaritans. And we all have heard about that struggle that took place between the Samaritans and the Jews, and we read about it really several times throughout the Word of God. But that struggle that happened between the two is really at its apex during the books of Ezra and Nehemiah. Now, when the enemy first heard that Nehemiah came to seek the welfare of the city of Jerusalem, we see that it was troubling to them that a man came to seek the welfare of the city. But now the walls are starting to be repaired, and we see that that trouble now comes anger, and they begin to mock them, and they make fun of Nehemiah, and they make fun of the Jews. They make them feel like they are unable to do the task at hand. And I want you to understand, the words of these men are coming back into the city. It's not that they're off somewhere else and they're talking in private and they have no idea what's going on in the city of Jerusalem. The words are coming to them. They know what's being said. Gossip is flying around the town. Now, I want you to know, this afternoon, the ways of the world and the actions of people have not really changed too much in the last 2,400 years. You see, there are going to be times when we as a church or you as an individual are going to be tasked with going out and doing something that the Lord has called you to do. And sometimes those tasks seem very big. Sometimes those tasks don't make a lot of sense to a lot of people. You know, when Noah and his family was building an ark on dry land, and it had never rained upon this earth, that never made one lick of sense whatsoever to everybody else around. Now, did it? Now, do you think that they ridiculed Mr. Noah for what he did? You better believe they did. You think they mocked him? You better believe they did. And likewise, brothers and sisters, don't be surprised when the Lord is calling you or the Lord is calling this church to do something that others on the outside that are lost think is strange, that they won't ridicule you as well and ridicule the work that you're doing and make you feel like you have the incapability to do it, because they will. As a matter of fact, sometimes it's not just the lost that are on the outside. I'm always amazed that sometimes the discouragement that we get from other brothers and sisters in Christ that go to other churches. Sometimes churches that are doing nothing, absolutely nothing, but meeting two times a week want to discourage somebody else from doing something because they don't feel that you're doing it the way it should be done. And sometimes that's the greatest discouragement that we get. Listen, God gave the ability to Noah to build an ark for the saving of this planet, for the saving of the animals. God gave the Jews the ability to build this wall in a short time. I think 52 days. It'd take us that longer than that to plan. They built it in 52 days. It's an amazing thing. Listen, God will give us the ability to perform all things that He has called us to do if we have the mind to work. The mind to work. Let's read on. Verses number 2 and 3. It says, "And he spake before his brethren, the army of Samaria, and said, What do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive stones out of the heaps of rubbish which are burned? And Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, Even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall." Now, Tobiah is a cohort, if you would, of Sanballat. And if you read this book, you'll see his name mentioned more than once. So they're trying to discourage the work. They're making fun of the work. And Tobiah even makes the point of saying, listen, what they are building is such poor quality that a fox, and you all know how big a fox is, if a fox got up on that wall, it would knock it down. You know, The fact of the matter is there is a difference between those who have a mastery at something who do the work and those that don't have a mastery at doing something, right? I mean, that's just true. You know, when you look at a finished job, sometimes you can tell right away who did it, right? Now, if I were going to build something, my finished project would not look anything nearly as nice and neat as my brother Randy would do, because my brother Randy is a little bit of a perfectionist when it comes to building. And I'm thankful for that, because that's the way it's supposed to be done. It would probably not look nearly as good as my other brother Randy, who would hire a contractor and have it done the right way as well. Now, but you all understand that when something is built nicely and when it's not. But so they're making fun of them, because you have these priests and you have the apothecaries and you have people of all sorts, men and women, who are working on building this wall. But one thing that the enemy did not understand was that the one who was going to hold the wall up, the one who was going to put the gates in that put the power behind them, was God. And again here, I'll make reference to the ark. The old saying is the Titanic was built by professionals. The ark was not. The ark was not. But what is the difference? The difference is the one who has the power behind it. Folks, the ark would have sunk like a rock in a rain barrel had God not been with it. Now that's just the way it is. It is the power of God that can strengthen up the building of a wall, just as it is the power of God who tears down the walls of Jericho, just like that. Now let's read in Nehemiah's response to the ridicule that is coming into the town. Verse 4 and 5, it says, "Hear, O our God, for we are despised, and turn their reproach upon their own head, and give them for prey in the land of captivity. And cover not their iniquity, and let not their sin be blotted out from before thee, for they have provoked thee to anger before the builders." Now we often see this kind of prayer in the Old Testament. It's called an imprecatory prayer. David prays these kind of prayers concerning the enemies of Israel as well. Now we know that Christ in the New Testament has told us to love our enemies and to pray for them. To pray for them. This prayer definitely goes back to the eye for eye principle. The things that Nehemiah is praying for is the same things that they're wishing would happen against them. Nehemiah, though, is not seeking war with them. He prayed to God knowing that what? Vengeance belongs to the Lord. He left it all in the Lord's hands. And folks, that is a principle that has not changed from the Old Testament. Christ, yes, told us to turn the other cheek and to love our enemies. He told us to pray for them that despitefully use us. But in the end, you can rest assured that God has got your back. God has got your back. And vengeance always belongs to Him. Verse number 6. Let's continue on. "So built we the wall, and the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work." The Jews did not listen to the laughter. They did not listen to the taunts of their work at this time. They continued building the wall because they desired to do the good work that God had called them to do. They had a mind to work. And the building up of this wall was of the highest priority. It was of greater priority than their own occupations. It was greater priority than planting and pulling and weeding and all the other stuff that had to be done. This wall right now getting finished was of top priority. And here too, the children of Israel are an example to us to continue to keep on keeping on when the Lord has given us a work to do. Verses 7 and 8, we got a lot of territory to cover. "But it came to pass that when Sembalat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites," that's a lot of ites, "heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, then they were very wroth." That means angry. and conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. So the enemy has laughed. The enemy has tried to discourage their works through a war of words. But now they see that the wall is still being built. The people are not being discouraged. The city is being fortified. So their mocking turns into anger. And they start to come together outside of the city of Jerusalem to figure out how they can stop the building of these walls. And they're thinking of every way that they can to throw a monkey wrench into the work. Did you ever have somebody so angry with you about something in your life, something that you're doing, that they tried to monkey around in your business to do you harm? I imagine you have, if you've lived long enough. Now remember, what was Nehemiah's response to the mockery? It was to pray. So what do you think that his response is going to be when he hears that they're assembling together with the possibility of coming against him? Look in verse number 9. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God and set a watch against them day and night because of them. So once again, we see them going to the Lord in prayer for God to help them in their time of need. But I want you to notice something else as well. They prayed to God, but they did that which was wise too, because they set up a watch. They set up a watch in the day and in the night that they may protect themselves. Folks, when someone is monkeying around in your business to do you harm, understand first, what you need to do is pray. You need to pray. But understand this as well. You need to be ready and you need to be watching. If you can, remove yourself from the situation as much as possible. But if you can't, you tread with caution and you keep on serving the Lord and praying to the Lord. In our morning services, we have been talking about the whole armor of God. And recently, we read Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 12, which says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness in this world, against the spiritual wickedness in high places." Does the devil use people like Sembalat and Tobiah and the rest of his crew? Absolutely, yes, he does. But it is ultimately Satan that is behind their work. He seeks to scar the children of God. He seeks to cast reproach upon them, seeks to cast reproach upon the Lord's churches. Folks, the battle is on, and we must pray daily. We must pray daily for God's help as we put on that whole armor of God, but we must continually watch as well and to watch each other's backs as well. Keep our eyes open in the day and in the night. But understand this. Pray for your enemy. Pray for your enemy. You want the enemy to go away? Pray the Lord might save them. Because they're just in need as much of a Savior as you were when the Lord saved you. Turn your enemy into a friend. Pray for them. Let's get back to Nehemiah. So far, all the problems we've seen come from outside, but look in verse number 10. And Judah said, "The strength of the bearers of the burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall." You know what's happening here? The people have been building this wall from sun up to sun down. They've heard how the enemy has mocked them. They've heard how the enemy is now conspiring against them. The wall is half done, but there's a lot of work left to do. And now discouragement sets in because of fatigue and out of fear. You know, nothing spreads faster than discouragement. Nothing spreads faster than that. You can take a whole group of people that are getting along just fine, and a couple of people get discouraged, and the next thing you know, everybody's ready to give up and throw the towel in. The same thing occurs in churches all the time. And folks, it is not of God. It is still of Satan. one of the greatest troubles facing churches, it comes from within. It comes from those who get discouraged. Listen, folks, I want you to understand there's going to be times that this pastor fails to live up to your expectations. There's going to be times that Brother Greg and all the other men who lead in the church are going to fail your expectations. There's going to be times that those who do anything at this church as your brothers and sisters are not going to live up to your expectations, and they're going to let you down. Discouragement often sets in, and one person begins talking to another person, and the next thing you know, you have a bunch of people who are discouraged. Listen, we need to learn to act when we see discouragement beginning in the body, to nip it in the bud. To nip it in the bud as fast as we can so that it doesn't fester and boil and turn into something that it shouldn't be. Now, that this discouragement has set in on our way here, the wall builders, they think that it seems to be an impossible task. Look in verse number 11. And our adversary said, they shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst among them and slay them and cause the work to cease. They were worried that Sanballat was going to sweep in with his armies of Samaria and destroy the work that's been done, destroy the people there before it got done. The walls and the gates have come along, but it's not done yet. Not enough to keep people out. Verse number 12, though, look here. And it came to pass that when the Jews which dwelt by them came, they said unto us 10 times, from all places, whence shall you return unto us, that they will be upon you? Now, what was taking place is you had visiting Jews coming into Jerusalem at least 10 different times. These men were coming in, and they were urging them to stop the building of the wall, to get back in league with Sanballat, and to not worry about what was going on as far as the building of this wall goes. They wanted to forget the work, you know, and be in league with the people of the land. You know, the visiting Jews, they were comfortable with the situation that they were in. They were worried about the fear of retribution that might be on them if they were not in league with Sanballat and Samaria. They were trying to be in league with God while being in league with the enemy. I don't know how else to say it. You know, you can't really do that. You can't do that. Sometimes you have to make a choice of whether you're going to serve God or serve this world. You can't always straddle a fence, and you can't always fear the retribution of others when the Lord has given you a project to do and a mind to work. Look on in verse 13 and 14. Therefore, set I in lower places behind the wall, and on the higher places I even set people after their families, with their swords, their spears, and their bows. And I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, be not afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your houses. Before we learned that they had just set up watches. Now they're no longer setting up a watch, but now they're preparing for battle at the same time. Nehemiah set people ready to fight in the lowest of places. He had people on the walls that were ready to look and see for attack. Being ready helped encourage the work to continue on. But they all still yet knew that they were few in number and ability compared to Sanballat. Now they knew that. So what does Nehemiah do? Nehemiah reminds them of how great the Lord is. This is the same God that brought them out of the land of Egypt, not out of military victory, but by the power of His own hand. This is the same God that brought down the walls of Jericho. The same God who had delivered time and time again and again. And He was still with them today. And if God delivered the faithful in the past, God would deliver them as well. And folks, do you think that God has changed that principle any today? Well, the answer is no. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the God that makes all things possible. Now look at this in verse number 15. And it came to pass, when our enemies heard that it was known unto us, and God brought their counsel to naught, that is, it didn't happen, didn't take place, that we returned all of us to the wall, everyone unto his work. Now the enemy finds out that they're ready, they're waiting for them, ready to fight, and they're continuing on to work. And who does Nehemiah give the credit to? He gives the credit to God. He gives credit to God and gives him the glory for bringing their plans to nothingness. And truly, that is where the glory belongs. Verses 16 and following. And it came to pass, from that time forth, that half my servants wrought in the work, and the other half of them held both spears, the shields, and the bows, and the habergons, and the rulers were behind all the house of Judah. They which builded on the wall, and they which the bear burdens, and those that ladded, every one with his hands wrought to the work, and with the other hand held a weapon. For the builders, everyone had his sword girded by his side, and so builded. And he that sounded the trumpet was by me. The people were divided, but they were divided for a cause. When you were on guard, you were waiting to fight. When you were resting from the labor, you'd be the one who was guarding. When you were there laboring, you would take switches back and forth. Everyone came armed to fight. Everyone came armed to work. Charles Spurgeon once produced a paper called The Sword and the Trowel. It was based off these verses right here. As Christians, we are in a constant battle, and we need to be always ready for attack with the sword of truth right beside of us. But we can't live our lives only in a defensive position, because we have a work to do. And we must keep our hand on the trowel. We must keep our hand on the trowel to build up the kingdom of God. He told us to go. He told us to preach. He told us to teach. He told us to witness to every creature. And every time that we do that, we are building up the kingdom of heaven. Now, for the sake of time, we're going to read through here through the end of the chapter and make just a couple of closing remarks. It says, "And I said unto the nobles, and to the rulers, and to the rest of the people, that the work is great and large, and we are separated upon the wall, one from another. In what place, therefore, ye hear the sound of the trumpet, resort ye thither unto us. Our God shall fight for us. So we labored in the work, and half of them held spears from the rising of the morning till the stars appeared. Likewise, at the same time, said I unto the people, let every one with his servant lodge within Jerusalem, that the night may be a guard to us and labor on the day. So neither I, nor my brethren, nor my servant, nor the men which guard, which followed me, none of us put off our clothes, save for every one putting them off for washing." These men were working from sun up to sundown, ready to fight the good fight at all times, knowing that God was with them, that He would be with them to fight the good fight right along with them. Now listen here, folks. The Lord has given us a work to do. Do you have the mind to do it? He has given us the tools to use. Do you have the mind to use them? He will supply the skills as they are needed. He will hold off and fight the enemy for us. We just need to have a mind to work.